Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Insights Radio. I am your host, E. Garcia. I will be joined by David Two Crows and Adriana Arms here. I think they're online. You guys there? Hello, hello.
Yes, I am here.
All right. David's
hello.
Here.
I'm here.
Welcome, welcome, guys. I want to welcome everybody to our episode of The Election Season is Over. And we've all been through hectic, stressful, stress, whatever related to, this election. But I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. But like we always do, we always share about our lives and the things we do. You know, it's just one of those things. And so I'll let you guys start off and just let me know how you guys are doing today. And
okay, I guess I'll start off. I want to say, right. Iggy, it sounds like your audio is kind of coming in and out. So you might want to maybe adjust your microphone or something.
Okay, how's that?
Yeah,
is that better?
It's not real bad.
Okay.
So far that's good. But am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you guys sound great. Let me see if I
good.
Can. Yeah.
Bear with us, folks. It's technical issues on live radio. So.
Well, you guys go ahead and talk, and I'll adjust myself here.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'll just go first because this is a very productive weekend for me. I started out by getting new wiper blades for my car and an oil change, and I winterized my apartment completely, and I bet it's the best winterized apartment in the entire complex because I come from Alaska, and I know how to winterize windows. So,
awesome.
So yeah, I'm getting prepared for winter, and had some fun entertainment on the weekend. I went and saw the movie Arrival and also went to see Henry Rollins, who is kind of he talks. He has so many stories to tell, and he used to be lead singer for a punk rock band called the Black Flags, but he's highly intellectual, very socially minded, just and has 1,000 stories to tell. So he gave us a 4-hour show in 2.5 hours. Basically, it was like a condensed download of information that was a lot of fun to listen to, and he really had some good points and some good things to leave us with. So I was happy to go with that. I went with our friend Mark, and so we did that. And, it was just a very good weekend, all in all. So that's my story for what I did.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Is that better?
How about... What do you think, Adrian? Yeah, it sounds better than it did before.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. So far,
okay.
So good.
All right. How about you, Adriana?
I had an uneventful weekend. I really just wanted to hang out at the house and relax, and which I did. That felt good. I avoided television and anything of the sort as much as possible, but that's not unusual for me. I really have not watched much television for about a year now, and it's been great. I would highly recommend that everyone turn off their TVs. But, Sunday, I decided I wanted to go out to the movies, and I ended up going by myself, but I saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge, and it was amazing. I loved it. It's based on a true story, and back in 1945, Okinawa, Japan, war story, and the main character... basically, you know, he won the Medal of Honor, and he went into battle with refusing to bear an arm, to even handle or anything to do with a rifle. And it's just a great story, and it's a true story, which makes that even the better, that gave me just a look, I guess, at, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there right now about humanity, and there's all kinds of bad stuff out there that's, you know, going around as far as what people as humans, you know, what we're made of. And right now it just seems like there's, you're seeing every side you can see from both sides of the fence, and it's not been very pretty. So if anybody wants an uplift in looking at someone that was really a human person, a human being, and a good person, I suggest go see that movie, Hacksaw Ridge.
Cool.
It brightens my Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I did this weekend. Honestly.
That good?
You know, that was really good. I actually saw Arrival, too. I went by myself and saw that. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
It makes you think, you know, and that's, it was not like your usual aliens come to Earth movie, you know, where, you know, there's this big battle or struggle for, you know, survival or something like that. It was very much a movie you had to think about and will kind of keep with you for a while afterwards. I'm not going to give anything away in anything, at least that isn't in the previews, but it's about the arrival of these ships to Earth and the interaction that takes place. The main character, she's a linguist, and so they bring her in to try to communicate with these beings, and the story goes on from there, but it's very it's almost intimate, in because you get to see her life and just get involved in who she is and how her role plays out in all of this. So yeah, I highly recommend it. It's the person sitting next to me had brought their, like, 9 to 11-year-old kids, a boy and a girl, and I don't think they really got the full gist of the movie. They were good. They didn't get bored too much, but I don't think it's for that kind of – I don't know. I don't want to speak for them, but I don't think it's really something that you would want to bring children to, in that it's just very slow, you know, or it's not like, you know, the usual movies that we're used to watching now. So anyway, that's – I recommend that as well. You know, it kind of takes the point of view of humanity in another direction as well. So a couple of good movie recommendations there from your friends here at with Insights.
Yeah, I don't understand the killer clown part, but, you know, that's.
Yeah, that baffled me, too, for a while. But
yeah.
No.
Was there killer clowns? You'll have to go see the movie now, won't you?
You'll have to see. That's right. That's right. So. Yeah. And the weather's been good. You know, there's been beautiful days here that we've been able to get out and enjoy. And, of course, walking my dogs and all. So I've been able to enjoy that. And, yeah, so that's where we started.
Cool.
Beautiful moon tonight.
Yeah, I haven't even looked outside to see it. You know, I've just been kind of in here and just getting ready for the show. I'm sure it's beautiful. I can feel her presence. Somebody pinch me in the ass. What's that?
Sorry about that.
Well,
we're
moving to new
territory.
You know, we don't want to make everything about politics in this world, but we are moving into new uncharted waters. I mean, for the first time for myself. You know, to get to experience somebody who's not really a politician into office. So it's going to be very interesting. And I don't know, we can spin it any way we want, but I don't know. It's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like the elephant in the room, no pun intended,
that
we've been living with for, you know, boy, has it been almost 2 years the campaign's been going on, and we've seen seen it develop and everything. And, of course, we've had our opinions and along the way, and, you know, we've maybe supported one candidate or another, or maybe a third-party candidate that was also in the race. And, you know, it's been emotionally intense. It's been divisive. It's been confrontational. That's part of the process, though. I think when people really get involved and they get passionate about the people that they want to see in those offices, then yeah, we've got some people who are on the side of the quote unquote winners and the side of the quote unquote losers. But really, you know, when it boils down to it, you know, that man is going to occupy that office, and whatever all that means, you know, it affects us all. So it's a good thing that we've taken attention and paid attention here, because in my opinion, we've been very complacent and just kind of let things happen for a while and been spectators to our own destiny. Henry Rollins talked a little bit about that last night. He came out and was very much promoting voting, you know, and no matter who you vote for, just get out there and vote. And that's the way that things change. And, you know, it was well received by the people there. So, here we are, and we're going forward from here. So,
yep. We can only go forward.
I just posted a link on my page about the Army Corps released a statement, and they have invited the Sioux tribe leaders to into talks or negotiations with them about the pipeline going alongside, I believe, and underneath the river there. And until further analysis, they've also said, is needed of, I'm hoping, the environmental consequences, you know, of the drilling. Mm-hmm. But supposedly, until they have these meetings and further analysis is done, the construction is supposed to stop on the Army Corps lands anyway.
Okay.
Which I believe that's in the so there's, you know, there's some hope there anyway. We'll see if they stick to their words. But and then David, I saw the video you shared from Paula, so that was a great video. If anybody's not in the loop about what's going on at Standing Rock, you should probably hop on somebody's page and see what's going on. We're definitely posting a lot of stuff, trying to ourselves through here. So,
right. Yeah, you know, and in Paula's video, she said that place is growing into a regular village, into 10,000 people. They've got a midwife tent. They've got hospitals. They've got regular cooking. I mean, it's becoming a community. And I think we were talking together, Iggy, and you said that those people aren't going anywhere. There's babies being born there. There's, you know, life is going on there. And it's not a temporary situation for them. They will stay there for 100 years if they need to keep that from going through. And that's the kind of commitment that that they're showing in opposition to, you know, the people in black that stand on the other side with the mace and the shields and, you know, the drones that fly overhead. And, you know, it is happening. And one of the best ways for you to find out what's happening is to watch the videos that Paula has been posting on her site or other people are posting out there and see what's really going on. You know, a lot of our attention's it's been taken up by this election and all the other things going on, but this is important, you know, and it's not going to stop there. We're going to have other fronts around the country where these kind of projects are going to try to be rushed through, and they're going to even probably feel emboldened now because of the kind of the nature of the elected officials that are coming into office. You know, that we're going to need to stand up on our own and say this is not right. We're not going to have it happen, not here, not there, you know, until we can build a pipeline that's safe. And I haven't seen one that hasn't had a leak yet. So
that's right.
You know, we need to change our perspective. We need to shift our focus and how we do things on this planet, you know, and this is the time to do that. And, you know, it's a big job. Yeah. You know, but it's also way past time that we started wrestling with these issues, you know, that affect us all. And before we come to some sort of tipping point or something where it's too late. You know, we need to take our stand on a few things, you know, and whatever realm that you feel comfortable in, start to make your voice heard. You know, for some of us who can't go to Standing Rock, well, there's companies and banks that support the pipeline, so let them know, or withdraw your money from the bank and find another place to put it. You know, just hit them where it counts, where your voice can be heard.
Yeah, just hit them in the jaw, hit them in the mouth, hit them in the pocketbook.
Yeah, whatever it takes. You know, there's brave people standing there in our place, you know, right now, and what we can do is just stand with them in spirit and support and prayer and just let them know that they're not alone. You know, it can probably feel pretty lonely out there when you're in the middle of nowhere with people standing there with, you know, attack dogs and pepper spray and, you know, being harassed and just treated like, you know, you're trespassing on your own land. But, you know,
I was there. I can raise my hand and say, I've seen it. I've been there. I've seen them dogs. I've seen them guns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The struggle is real.
No, it's real. It's real. Yeah. And, you know, the sad part is people don't understand that it's common native, you know, like common people here in America, like ourselves, like you and me, who are protesting this pipeline. Because, in effect, that had to be, there's also people in their community who are for the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who actually have to sign off on that and have to agree to that and give permission for that. And so they have their own internal struggles too, so don't think they don't. A lot of stuff have been coming up lately. They've been trying to get it hush-hush, and you know, that's why some people are really upset too, because their leadership, you know, their elders are doing things without consulting, without talking. You know, money moves the world, I guess, in some aspects. You know, because that pipeline was going to be on another side of, you know, Dakotas, and it was going to be near Bismarck. And, you know, the community there didn't want it there because they were afraid that it might contaminate their water. Ironic. And that's kind of weird.
Yes.
You know? Aren't we fighting this the same reason? We don't need these pipelines, man. Canada, you know, Canada can go do what they want. Okay. Because Canada, you know, this oil is coming from Canada. You know, they want oil, they want to sell it or whatever they want to do, then they need to find a different route, different way. Just the way they're doing it is not a good way. It's just not, you know. I mean, it's kind of like technology we have today. I mean, we started using electricity, what, in the 1800s, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
In the 1800s. And we haven't advanced in any type of technology since then, you know, and producing fuels and another type of form of power. You know, come on, man. You know, it's all about money. That's why they want to use the petrol. It's like going to outer space, you know. We can go to outer space. We can go deeper if we want to. We don't do it because we want to keep everything, you know, in a certain way. We should be more advanced. For who we are as human beings, we should be way more advanced in technology, way more advanced spiritually, way more advanced in different ways. But we are so in that dogma, that old energy, that we can't move forward.
You're absolutely right. You are right.
There's even some conspiracy theories about technology. Then a chosen few have been supposedly gifted with a lot more advanced technology and are keeping it suppressed. And because if everyone has this, you know, technology that's available, that's so advanced, then what would happen to all that greed with what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
All the power structure would fall apart.
That's right. So I happen to, I've said this many a time on this show, give me a break. We can send a man to the moon, and now we can even go past the moon. That you can't find a cure for cancer, give me a break. That's bullshit.
Cures for cancer. You know, I had this conversation with my little sister who lives in Germany. And, you know, she's like, I want to be a doctor. Well, she didn't turn out to be a doctor, but because I want to cure cancer. So cancer's already cured, man. They just won't sell it to you because it's not good business.
Right. And they keep holding up this idea of some kind of magic pill or, you know, some shot or vaccination against it, when really it's a lifestyle. It's a combination of things. It's environmental. It's lifestyle. It's, you know, the cancer is a complex thing. It's not from one particular, you know, genome that they're going to unlock. But they keep that going because it funds research. And, you know, research is some people's profession, you know. So they just keep funding that research, you know. And I don't want to sound cynical or anything. And when people go out and they do these cancer events and things to find a cure for cancer, their hearts are so in the right place. But I just have to say that I don't feel like the money that's going, that being collected is really going into a cancer cure so much as it's going into pain.
Yeah, you're right. There is actually a study on that. That pink cancer, breast cancer thing. They said that only a small percentage of that goes into actually, you know, funding cancer research. The other half goes into promotion and making those little pink banners and, you know, doing all the pink stuff,
making t-shirts
and stuff. And CEOs, they get paid for, you know, for supporting. And I think a very small portion, I'd have to look that up. Maybe next week I'll look it up for next week's show. But I was totally disgusted by that, you know, because like you said, people are really invested in that and they think they're making a difference. And, you know, and it hurts me to think that, you know, that you would think 100% of that. I would rather 100% go into that and, you know, and not get money to make those, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, but, you know.
No, you're right. And then right here in Central Ohio, we have the James Cancer Center, which is a huge multi-million dollar facility that's cutting edge, state of the art, and there's doctors in there, and you know they're making their wages and fees and everything. So it's big business, you know, and it's important to keep that ball rolling, I guess, because what would they do if they ever stopped doing that? You know, there's a commercial where they say, well, after cancer is cured, these ribbons can be used for other things, but it's like I don't know, you know, I don't know,
you know.
It goes into the big pharma, too. Look at the cost of medical supplies for diabetics and, you know, certain shots. My mother was in the hospital once, and they had to give her, you know, this really expensive shot. The shot cost, if I'm not mistaken, about $2,000 for this injection.
Oh, my God.
That's bullshit.
Wow. That is bullshit.
Where is the regulation? Where is the regulation on what the hospitals and doctors can charge and what the pharma charges? And so, look into your what you donate to for cancer or all these other, you know, diseases and sicknesses out there. Follow the head of those corporations and do your research on what you're donating to and see how much actually goes. Because all those donations are funding in this vicious circle. It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that, you know, one of the biggest things during the campaign was, you know, Trump was opposing Obamacare and said that's the first thing he was going to do away with or try to reform. Well, what do you think about that? What do you guys think
go ahead, Iggy.
Before I go into the Obamacare, we're the only culture that drinks our own. We drink poop water. Okay?
You're breaking up on me.
We're the only society that drinks our own poop. Okay? We flush the toilet and filter systems, and we drink it again. Okay, number one. When I think about Obamacare, this is what's happened with Obamacare. Actually, I heard Trump actually is not going to stop it now.
You're breaking up on me real bad. I can't understand what you're saying, Iggy.
You got your microphone set correctly?
Did we lose him?
I don't think we lost him, unless he's adjusting his mic. But for me, I mean, you know, I work for a company that helps revision Obamacare for folks. So that's one thing. But You know, I can't afford it. I don't know where it became the Affordable Care Act, because I looked into it and they wanted like $600 a month for me, unless I could somehow qualify for a lower income kind of deal. But I can't do that. I make a little bit too much money. And then my consulting company that I work through, their health plan came up, and now it's $50 a week just for basic medical. That doesn't include vision or dental. $50 a week, you know, that's that's $200 a month, and that's a big bite, you know. I've talked to other people, and they're like, oh, I pay $50 a month or $70 a month for my company, and you know, I feel like I'm getting, you know, kind of really ripped off, because for one, I don't use healthcare that much. You know, I'd like to go in for some regular checkups once in a while. I'm getting older, but you know, I can't afford to buy it. So you know, I'm just basically left out in the cold. And then, you know, going to be penalized because I can't afford the health care that is there because it's unaffordable. So, yeah, it's a big, it's a great big bad deal to me.
Racket.
Yeah, exactly. They said the insurance companies were bad, but it's just as bad. We need a single payer system like Bernie Sanders was promoting, like works in other countries, something that is affordable for everybody, but it's going to take a major concession from the pharmacy companies and from the insurers to make that happen, and they're not ready to do it yet.
Right. So then how do you hit them in the pocketbook, since pretty much you're required to carry house insurance, car insurance, you know, health insurance, especially if you're divorced.
Right.
One parent is definitely responsible to carry health insurance on their children. Whether it's through the employer, the businesses get hit, they have to have coverage offered to their employees. You know, that's another big ring out there. That's just a vicious cycle. And every year, as long as I have been covered on insurance through my employers, every year, that my policy, no matter how old I am or young, didn't matter. I started in my 20s, and I've been lucky. I've had employers, you know, that provide my insurance. But every year, that insurance has increased. So in 30 years, one person, it increases every year. There's never been a decrease. Ever that I'm aware of.
Iggy, are you back with us?
Hold on, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can hear you.
Am I still choppy?
Not now, not so far.
Okay. I can hear you guys loud and clear.
That's good. It's okay. Back to you, Iggy. We were just kind of talking until you could get back on with it. What do you
I can hear you guys.
Obamacare?
What do I think about Obamacare? I'm not on Obamacare to begin with, so I get insurance through my wife's work, and but it's kind of high because she's a hairstylist, and they work with dangerous chemicals and stuff, so they gouge you that way. And I think for us it was like three something a month or something like that. And it used to be more with all our kids when we had them at home. Wasn't cheap.
Wow. No.
But then, you know, like I was saying, you know, we're the only society that drinks our own poop, you know. We flush our toilets and we filter it and then we drink that stuff, you know. No wonder we have problems. No wonder we have issues. We have hospitals that are dedicated just to children. I remember when Children's Hospital here was dinky, small. And these kids now have adult sicknesses, you know. They don't have, like, childhood sicknesses. They have adult sicknesses. It's because, you know, we've screwed up the environment. We screwed up the land. We don't eat well. A lot of the foods that we eat are processed foods. You know, even the soil is contaminated that we use now. It's been depleted of minerals. And when you grow it, the minerals probably in Mexico and the soil there are probably better than the ones here, you know. And we ship things across the world to sell to other people. It's kind of like the oil that's being fracked from Canada to, you know, from North Dakota and through all that state. That's all going to go to China. That's all going to go overseas. We're not even going to see that stuff, because that's actually Canadian oil. And that's Canadian refineries that are actually to have businesses here in the United States. That's what people don't know, you know? And, you know, I was so disturbed and bothered, you know, about, you know, how 5.5 million people celebrated for the Cubs winning the World Series. And, you know, then we have all these people fighting for their water rights so we don't have them contaminated. If we even had a third of those people show up, even less than a third, you know, we'd have, things would be different. Could you imagine 5.5 million people showing up in South Dakota or North Dakota and protesting the war? I mean, they wouldn't have enough troops to do anything. They would be clobbered.
Well,
the people could just
at that point that the president would get off of his chair in the White House and he might make a few phone calls and do something about it?
Well, I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt that maybe he tried. But I want to tell you, though, big money controls everything. You know, it controls their campaigns. If you don't think Hillary Clinton, Obama, and Trump and all those guys are invested in that, then you're just – everybody's kidding themselves. All those guys have a hand in that in some way or another, you know. I mean, I watched Donald Trump come out of that meeting with, you know, President Obama, and he looked like a completely different person. He looked like he seen a ghost, you know.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, man, there's this rumor, there's this legend that they take you down. Once you become president-elect, they take you to the basement of the White House. And they scare the crap out of you. They shine a light on you, and they tell you exactly how it's going to be and what you're going to do and what you can't do. Is it true? I don't know, but it's a legend that we have here in this country.
Yeah, and he started to moderate.
I watched his interview on 60 Minutes earlier. That was interesting.
Yeah, you know, this whole election, it's – I never really connected with Donald Trump. You know, I thought of him as kind of misogynistic, narcissistic, kind of just a billionaire who wanted to be president because, well, hey, it would be cool to be president and say, I'm president, you know. But, you know, the people who supported him, it's easy to like Hillary did, put them in the basket of deplorables, but really they're not. You know, not all of them are racist. Not all of them are homophobic. Not all of them are, you know, sexist people, but a lot of them are disappointed by what they've had over the last 8 years or more because they've been left out of the success story of America. You know, they've been sidelined and pushed aside, and, you know, you can blame whoever you want to for that, but it's a failure of the system in general for these people because they haven't been able to keep up with all the regulations, with all the other things that have gone on. You know, that narrow their world down, you know, and they've seen a lot of things they've been overlooked for. So I can understand the outrage is what I'm saying. I can understand the push against the system, you know, and Hillary Clinton, as many good things as she might have done, she still represented the system to them. And so now they decided that they're going to push back and that, you know, that they're not going to have the status quo anymore. And Donald Trump represented something different. You know, I saw it out there. When I went out into rural Ohio, you know, there's Trump signs everywhere. There are people selling Trump T-shirts, you know. Those people are the ones who felt like, you know, they weren't being heard. And Donald Trump, for better or worse, he stood up and said, I'm gonna turn things upside down and drain the swamp and make your voice heard in Washington, D.C. And here's the things I plan on doing. And, you know, just the general attitude was, you know, that he was going to upset the apple cart and take care of, you know, to finally start taking care of those people's interests. So that's where I understand that's where his support came from as well.
That's yet to be seen.
Yes, it is.
You know, I think a lot of Hillary's supporters turned on her. I don't think so much when the talk about the live abortion came up, you know, I think that actually hurt her a lot. A lot of people that are a lot of Christians, you know, people with a Christian belief don't believe in abortion, really. A lot of them that I know anyway. You know, she also kept saying how proud she was. She had been in there for 30 years doing things, and I'm not saying that she never did anything good, but in the past 30 years, if you've been in there that long, A lot of people took that as you've obviously been part of the problem too.
Yeah.
And that was another, that's another way that people looked at, from what I'm gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people looked at her as a warmonger.
Yeah, I just don't think she campaigned enough. You know, honestly, truthfully, you know, anytime you turn a channel, Donald Trump was somewhere. He was in Michigan. He was in Peru, Mexico, you know. You know, I mean, she was taking naps. You know, some people take offense to that kind of stuff, you know. And she played the old politics, you know, where you just wait to the, like, the last month of the campaign where you really hit it hard. And you dump all your money into the election, to the, you know, the TVs, the radios and stuff. I think people made up their mind a long time ago what they wanted. When Bernie Sanders got screwed over, you know, and he wasn't a Democrat per se. You know, he's like a Catholic priest coming into a Pentecostal church and saying, hey, you know, we're still Christian, but I want to take over your church, you know. So I can understand why they didn't want to support him. I get that. But he did get screwed over. I mean, he did get looked over, you know, even though, you know, I wish he would have fought a little bit more. I wish he would have stood up, and I wish he would have maybe run as an independent, you know, done something, because the outcome, Trump won. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what would have happened. He should just ran, right? It's kind of like when people accuse people who vote third party. Oh, you gave Donald Trump a vote. That you can't prove that that vote goes to Donald Trump. You don't know where it goes. You don't know where that vote's floating around to. You know, that's just, you're just guessing at that point. And I don't care what kind of analyst can tell you. Analysts can't tell you anything, because you know what? They got it wrong. All the
obviously,
pollsters,
yeah.
You know, all those pollsters and all those guys who throw numbers around. When I found out that they only poll 3,000 people after a certain, like an over course of 2 days, 3,000 people, you're going to base your whole campaign, your whole direction just on three people. You can call all Democrats and have the polls all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, the old got to change.
The campaigning, Iggy, you, mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, you said that we were going to talk about the spellcasting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Go ahead, because I've got something that Mark wanted me to add tonight, too. So go ahead.
Okay. If you know anything about the human brain, gathers information even when we're not looking at things. We're not talking or whatever. So when you look at things, you remember, like, certain words pop out in your head. It's like advertising. When you look at advertising, they're very quick and very to the point. It's like they got to get you in the first. It used to be 10 seconds, and then it was 30 seconds. Now it's like 5 to 10 seconds. You have to be able to, you know, get somebody's attention. So something that I noticed, and something that somebody else brought up to me who does this kind of work, says that, you know, usually what the human eye, the mind, subconsciously picks up, like, the first two letters it sees, the two first words it sees, and then just kind of discards everything. And then it picks up one word specifically. So if you guys remember in the campaign, Hillary Clinton had a sign. One of her slogans was "Love Trump's hate." Okay. I know what she was trying to say, but most people psychologically and subliminally would see "Love Trump's." So you would see "loves Trump's" and you would translate that as "love Trump." And you don't even think about hate, because most people don't like the word hate. Most people don't like to, they don't associate themselves being hateful, but they associate themselves with being in love. So when they associate themselves through love, most people want to love and be loving. So a lot of people, and they probably didn't even know they did this. Okay. It's just so easy. So when people see that, the only thing they saw was either Trump and love. There's a few who saw hate. The majority of the people were probably going, "loves Trump." And they keep saying, when you keep saying "loves Trump, loves Trump, loves Trump," you keep saying it long enough, you're going to start to think "loves Trump's." For you to say "loves Trump's hate," it's too long. It's too many words. So you totally knock off the third word right off the bat. So for her, she should have just, like, totally scrapped that. And she should have just totally stopped attacking him. She just should have totally just stuck to her game plan to be, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what we're going to do together. And don't worry about Trump being a racist. Don't worry about Trump being whatever you want to call him. Because when you start putting energy onto something, what you resist persists type energy. In the law of attraction, there's one thing that people forget. in order to have the attraction, you have to be vibrating in that energy. When you're not when you vibrate in that energy, that when you're vibrating, then you can attract. That's why a lot of people started to vibrate, you know, collectively for Trump, because they were all vibrating in that energy as just as well as people who are on Hillary's camp. But that's what happens. You never, in any way, when you're running a political campaign or anything that you're trying to promote yourself, you never put the other candidate's name on any pot of propaganda of yours or any type of advertisement you have, because people will associate it. People will subliminally pick up the messages. And that's my theory and a few other people who I know we talked about. That little piece you has done so much damage for her that she doesn't even realize it. You may not think so, you may not believe so, but that's spellcasting. You're already spelling it. You're already programming people. You're spelling. You're putting magic on it. Love trumps. Because when I saw it, I didn't get it. Okay, and I consider myself pretty intelligent. And you know, love trumps hate. And I'm thinking, love trumps hate. I had to really think about what that meant. Does she love Trump? Trump's hates? What are you trying to say? What are you saying? I mean, are you saying that?
Yeah.
That love is better and that Trump's it. She was trying to play on words. She was trying to be funny. They were trying to be funny. The campaign was trying to be funny. That love trumps hate. I get what she was saying, but that backfired. For me, that's just totally just backfired. I took it completely different.
Right.
So the
right.
law of attraction there, as you were saying, that law of attraction and what you're putting out there is what you're going to generate back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the people that are going overboard still with the hate, and it isn't really so much the Trump supporters that are doing it right now, it's
mm-hmm.
the Hillary ones that are doing it. They're everything you see, it's, you know, it's so hate-based.
Not my president.
Yeah. It's so hate-based. And if you believe anything about the law of attraction, then what you're putting out there is going to come back at you. So, people, would you please stop with the crap?
Yeah.
We had enough of it before the election. Are we going to have 2 more years of it after? Give me a break.
You just get more of what you're pushing against, you know?
Right. Well, watch what you're pushing out there. I mean, seriously, I'm not pushing any of that stuff.
Yeah. That's why I tell people I'll only do a peace walk. I won't do a war demonstration. I won't do an anti-Trump demonstration, because that just means we want more Trump. You know, I do the reverse. If I'm going to promote something that's positive, like we do when we have our peace walk, it's about peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to promote peace because, you know what? I can only get peace at that point. I can't. I'm not going to get anything other than that. I'm not going to go around marching with no war, because then you get more war. You no, anti-drugs, then you get more drugs. You have to – everything's wording. Wording is very powerful. Self-talk is powerful. Subliminal messages in the super subconscious picks up everything. We're just like a walking computer, a walking DVR.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yep. So – let me interject, too, with what Mark was talking to me about last night. He said, you know, you remember in the final debate when the moderator kept asking Trump, will you accept the results of the election? Will you accept the results of that? He said that 3 times to Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And every time Trump was like, I'm not going to say anything about that right now. We'll wait and see. You know, Mark's theory is that. Well, his theory in general is that in order for the agenda of the elite or the whatever, the shadow government to go forward, it's like we have to buy into it. We have to accept it. We have to somehow give our consent. Like a vampire needs to be invited into your house before they can come in.
Okay.
So he said that was their attempt right there to get Trump to accept their programming for what was they wanted to have happen. If he had said, yes, I accept the results of the election, then they would have had his consent to push forward with that agenda and for those things to happen. Mark says that's a big reason why he didn't win. Hillary didn't win, is because Trump refused to buy into it, you know, and it didn't come to pass like they wanted it to happen. So that was really interesting for him to lay on me. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. They were trying to trick him.
Yeah, you know, and he said here in Ohio, he was up in Delaware, he said, after that debate, he said, you know, I will accept the results of this historic election, and he paused and said, if I win. So he kind of jabbed it right back at him, too. So it's very interesting what goes on under the surface of what we think we see and hear.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole world of things going on.
Yeah. Pretty wild, man.
Yes, it is.
You know, I'm glad,
go ahead.
You know, it's funny because he totally went against every tradition that you possibly do in, you know, running for a presidential seat like that. He didn't show his taxes, which is just tradition. You don't have to. All you have to do is give a statement to the Federal Elections Commission. You know, he didn't say, like you said, he said he wasn't going to concede or whatever they want him to say and take the results because, you know what, number one, first you have to have the results in order to concede, right? So he did a lot of things that are very different, you know, and I'm glad, I'm not a Trump supporter. I like Trump because I've been around him and I used to be in real estate and read his books and stuff. So my relationship's a little different, you know, and understanding him and seeing him. So for me, it was kind of like a weird scenario. But, you know, he did everything according to Trump, you know, like he wasn't going to be bullied and pushed around. And I'm not saying he's a great guy. So don't get me wrong when I say this, people. It just happened to be that he was going to do things under his terms. And you know what? For him, it paid off. You know, will it happen the next 4 years? I don't know. First, we need to get through these 4 years. With him.
Right. Here's another interesting thing. Oh, we can take a break first and then I'll come back with that if you don't want.
Yeah, okay. Let's take a really quick break and we shall return. Let me get this one here. Okay, be right back, guys.
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station. Your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to withinsightsradio.com. You are listening to withinsightsradio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. You are listening to withinsightsradio.com with your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, and Adriana Arts. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to withinsightsradio.com. I'm Garcia, David Crows, and Adriana Arts, and we are talking a little bit about everything today, and we're actually talking a little bit about politics, finishing up, wrapping it up, and kind of where we're at, talking a little bit about spellcasting and the different things that we noticed in the campaign, and just the overall picture of it, and I know a lot of you who are out there who listen to our show probably did not get the results that you probably wanted, and there might be another segment in our listening group that, you know, was probably ecstatic. That's just kind of how elections go, and that's kind of how things play out. And, you know, one of the biggest things I've always told people just is you have to learn to adjust, learn to, you know, move forward into the energies and prepare yourself. It's kind of like anything bad happens in your life, you can stay there and waddle at it, or you can move through it and do your best to adjust and just get better and better at it. Welcome back.
All right.
Welcome
I did
back.
Say that I was going to say something about to go a little further, probably deeper into the rabbit hole, as we like to do around here. but yeah. So you know, I posted on Facebook a little bit ago about you know how congratulations if if you support Donald Trump, congratulations. If you don't, because, you know, all in all, we've all been kind of woken up out of our complacency and our, you know, we can see the things that are really going on in this country right on the surface now, instead of like they've been swept under the rug for the past, you know, 50 years or 60 years. Things are right out in our face now, you know, and you can choose to react to it however you want to react to it and go forward from here. But at least we're not playing like, you know, this is just, we don't talk about those things, or it's in the back room, or it's, you know, locker room talk or whatever. It's all right out here now, you know, so we can make our choices and we can move forward however we want to. But it's a good thing, because that's what the revelation is all about. That's what the apocalypse or the lifting of the veil is all about. It's about seeing the truth as it is. And sometimes it's very ugly, but at least we see it and we acknowledge it, and we start to shape the world that we want to see, you know, to come forth. So I put that out there. And then I got a private message from David Diamondheart, who's our friend. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, yeah, really it's a good thing that Hillary lost and Donald Trump won, because there have been agencies working behind the scenes. And he's talking about people in the heavenly realms as well as people, you know, here, light workers and things like that, who've been trying to do that to get Trump a victory, because Hillary would have started World War III with Russia. And that was what was avoided with all the timeline edits that have been going on. You know, how I've been talking about, and we've been talking about how the world feels different now. Mm-hmm. It's like things have changed somehow and we can't really put our finger on it. You know, and I've felt like, well, somebody's messing with the timeline here, because I remember the Berenstain Bears were spelled one way and it's spelled another way now. But, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it made sense to me, because he said that that there's been major edits, but also that as we go forward now, they're editing Trump himself so that he's starting to moderate more. He's starting to be more presidential. You know, he's actually going to be a better person for this country than he started out with, you know, 18 months ago or so. You know, he was just a brash, know-it-all kind of, you know, I'm going to fix everything myself, and, you know, I don't need anybody else, and, you know, I don't need to explain things. I'm going to build a wall, make Mexico pay for it, all that stuff, you know, that you remember. And now he's being moderated more. And you can see it, you know, whether it's because of that or just because he finally realizes, holy crap, I'm president of the United States now. So, but that was an interesting thing to hear. And, it, you know, it kind of makes sense. I'm letting it kind of roll around in my mind and my spirit and say, you know what, maybe that's true. You know, we never know what would have happened if Hillary had won, you know, as great as some people thought it might have been, and even, you know, as great as I might have thought it would have been, it could have led to something like that. And we know that Putin was in touch with Trump during the campaign, and he spoke, Trump spoke of Putin in positive terms and things. So, you know, a better relationship with Russia, you know, could come out of that. But I don't know. You know, it's all just kind of speculation, but it's interesting food for thought, I think, right?
Yeah, why do we all have to fight each other? I mean, why do we all have to be at war all the time? I mean, what's the point of that? Why do we have to have an enemy? I mean, why does Russia have to be our enemy? Why do we have to – I remember when communism was like a no-no in this country. Now we don't even talk about that, you know? I mean, do we have – I mean, we already dismantled – we dismantled the Soviet Union, you know, through our propaganda and all this stuff. And you know what? Russia became stronger, because now they don't have to hold on to all those leech countries, you know, and take care of them. They have to fend for themselves now.
Absolutely.
War is an excuse for the powers that be. They love to keep us, the people, at war, and they love to keep us thinking that, you know, we have enemies everywhere. And I'm not saying that we don't, but they push war, and the reason for pushing war is because that affects the economy, as we all know. And when the economy is affected, when there's war, you're going to get taxed. There's going to be that they'll have a reason to tax more money to go towards the war. War is all about money and greed. Mm-hmm. It always has been. And it's always been an excuse to get our money.
It's the bankers and the military-industrial complex that wins, you know, in the war, no matter who we're fighting.
You know, I'd love to see if Trump was going to reform anything. I'd love to see him take out the Federal Reserve System. You know, the Supreme Court fought that five times.
Mm-hmm.
They did not allow the Federal Reserve System. The Supreme mm-hmm. Court did. Five different
and yet,
times. Way,
yep, and
way
still
back
it's there.
And yeah, they got the right puppet in there that passed it right on along. That's why it's
mm-hmm.
in there. I'd like to see him turn that one upside down and do something with it, especially since he hasn't given them his taxes. That'd
yeah.
be a hoot. But seriously,
you know,
when you think of your own taxes, look how much money they take out of the working man's paycheck every
mm-hmm.
week.
Yes.
One person, seriously, one person. Now, don't you think if we have to pay taxes, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but if we have to pay it, I think it'd be a great idea that there was a list of things that we could choose to have our tax dollars go towards instead of someone else deciding for us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a radical idea, but I love it.
Don't you? I mean,
mm-hmm.
seriously, how I bet you I own stock in a military plane somewhere that I didn't want.
Yeah.
I bet you I've paid enough.
You are a stockholder.
Yeah.
I mean, every single one of us is a stockholder.
That's
correct.
Right.
Our names are
that's
sold
right.
as straw men all over the world to hold,
mm-hmm.
you know, notes, financial notes against us. You know, our government
right.
tells us.
So,
exactly.
You know. This is the way I think about things. It's like, wouldn't that just be great if we get somebody in there that turns that system upside down? And wouldn't it be great if we had to pay any tax at all that we would have the choice to choose where our money gets applied? How many people do you think
mm-hmm.
would actually give money to go towards furthering the military complex and towards war machines
mm-hmm.
or anything. Hardly anyone I know would want their money to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd put it into education for their children or, you know, into our health care, whatever.
Unfortunately,
anything
I know people would go
war.
The other way.
Yeah, but that's their choice. So I'm going to suggest Adriana for president in 2020.
You're the second person this week that said that.
It's a grassroots movement.
You know, I was curious. You know how they say all the presidents are related to one family tree of, you know, I forget the name of the king.
Like the Plantagenets or something over there.
I wonder if Trump is related, and I wonder if Hillary was related. I wonder if any, you know, because I know Obama was. There's only one president, I think it was Van Buren, wasn't. He was the brother of that guy. So still a good family.
Wow. Well, I've traced my family history back, and I'm related to him too. So, you know, I guess I'm eligible someday.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Wow. Yeah, politics, you know, and as much energy and as much attention and as much all the emotion that's gone into this, you know, once it's all said and done, you know, we're back to, we need to still be involved in it ourselves. You know, we can't just put a surrogate up there to make all of our choices or to put all our blame on or to give all our power over to, you know, for the next 4 years and go, hey, well, you know, I didn't vote for him, or, hey, he changed his mind on this, or, you know, it's going to be another bunch of excuses. It's we, the people, have to awaken, and maybe some of us have, maybe this is part of that process, but we have to hold those people accountable. And it's going to be like, you know, not just when it's election time, but you know, in the middle of March next year, or, you know, it's a constant thing. You have to make yourselves known, or in the absence of that, they're going to think, well, I get to just do what I want because nobody in my hometown is telling me that they object to this. And here's all
mm-hmm.
these folks around me with all this money and influence and, you know, promises that I made, and I'm just going to do it, you know. So we have to take the wheel back, and that's on us, you know. It's all us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at a meme here. It says, when all you wanted was a sugar daddy, and now you're the First Lady of the United States of America.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to have that family in the White House for 4 years.
I heard they're not going to live there. I heard they're not going to live at the White House.
I heard that too just now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. They said they supposedly they're not going to stay there all the time.
Just on the weekends, and some Wednesdays.
Have parties. Wow. It's going to be different 4 years. It really is. You know, at least it's starting out that way. And how it all plays out is really going to be interesting to see if he keeps the energy of the folks that voted for him, or if he switches over, or how he's going to moderate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but certainly the apple cart has been upset now, and we're going to see what kind of rotten apples fall out, I guess. So it'll be interesting. Yeah,
I picked on both of them. Okay. And a lot of people were calling me out the other day. I said, hey, I picked on everybody except for the third party candidates, because they could do their own job themselves really well on that one. But, you know, I picked on Trump. I picked on Hillary, you know. Hillary just had more things to propose, you know. But but the funny thing, I have this one. You probably saw it. It's the Hillary wanted for Christmas was the White House. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's like my most favorite one. Of all things I posted this whole entire campaign, because you know you gotta laugh a little bit sometimes.
Oh,
this is so funny. She's all excited. That's from a movie. I forget the movie, but she's kind of now. She's Obama and Michelle. You know, they're out there and they're putting together this trampoline. Blah blah blah. And they have the White House on top of it. And, you know, it's netted in. And Hillary wakes up and she starts running out in the yard. And the next thing she knows, she's getting ready to. She sees the White House on top of the trampoline. And all of a sudden, the bulldog just jumps into the trampoline. It has Trump's face on it. And he's jumping around on the trampoline. And I'm going, oh, my God. I'm like,
yeah.
Whoever made this had a lot more time than me on their hands.
That's pretty close to probably how she feels right now, you know.
I felt sorry for her for about 5 minutes, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
She lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my opinion, I really think she lost the campaign on her own morals and her own doing. It's unfortunate that only her emails and stuff came out. And, you know, I was surprised that there was no more things on Trump, personally, in my opinion, you know, that could have, you know, sabotaged his campaign. But, you know, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of baggage after 30 years of campaigning, you know, and being in an office. I guess all that stuff adds up pretty quick. You know, all that things happened.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I didn't care so much about the emails. That wasn't a big deal for me. But what was the way that she handled the whole basket of deplorables thing. That's when I thought she sank down to Trump's level. And that's when I think she lost a lot of people's respect, you know, trying to match him at the insults or the, you know, the witticisms and stuff like that. You know, she should have taken the higher road, and, you know, win or lose, you know, that's going to be her. She's going to have that legacy following her around a little bit. So it's part of her story now. But
didn't she say that? They take the low road, we take the high road. It didn't turn out that way.
Yeah. No. So,
okay.
A little bit of some bad advice going on there behind the scenes.
I think that's where it's at, David. Bad advice. Whoever was running her campaign didn't help her. They should have hired me.
Well, honey, hop on over to her Hillary 2016 Facebook page. It's still, she's still throwing it out there.
I think she blames the FBI director now for sabotaging her campaign.
A lot of
hate. I don't know. I wish, you know, that all those young people I think everybody underestimated the Republican strategy, and they just assumed that they were going to win. I mean, that's really what I think truly in my heart. They just thought that they were going to win. And you know what? I even think Republicans thought she was going to win. Okay. But what they didn't bank on was that the rural America, the farmer, the person who doesn't, you know, they're already hurting as it is, you know. You know, their crops, they get paid not to grow things, you know. They're what they do sell, they don't make any money. They're in debt, they've lost their farms, you know. these people wanted something remotely better than what they have, because they're never going to leave the country. They're never going to go out and they're never going to move into the city. You know, they're never going to be city folk. And that's why they have the Electoral College, to protect these people, to help them have a voice, because, you know, there's a lot of people in the populated areas and that can make a big difference. And that's why, you know, our founding fathers are called the founding fathers, because they had vision. I think they were prophecy seekers. They could see the future. They could see the things, you know, that were going to happen that we don't see, that we're not capable of seeing anymore. You know, they didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They didn't have radio. They had just barely had newspapers, you know? So they had time to do things that we don't do anymore. So I really think that some of them forecasted into the future, well, we need to do this so there's not, this doesn't happen, you know, to eliminate it. To eliminate it personally, I think would be a bad idea. I questioned it too one time, but I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's, I think the electorate, you know, is important, you know, and with all these super delegates and all these different things, I think some things need to be realigned, readjusted, in my opinion, with certain parties, you know, how they do things. Just make it real simple for people. Because personally, I still don't understand how it all works. And, you know, I'm pretty involved in politics.
So there you go. We've kind of reached the point of silence there, but
it was like,
no.
The lollipop guild.
Yeah, the lollipop guild. Vote for them, you know, whatever.
How about this one?
Yeah.
In life, you need certain people to touch your heart.
We'll end with that one a little bit later.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Because really, it is. It does come down.
And you saying, how about a smackerel of honey?
I like that too. But what I like best.
A little bit of honey makes everything better.
That's right.
There you go.
It's a little sticky, but hey.
You by your local bee farm.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the election results go down.
There's a lot of pissed off people, dude. You know, I remember you couldn't even talk about Donald Trump. People would just cut you off, and they didn't even want to hear you. They'd delete you. You know, that's what happened out there in America, I think. A lot of people who wanted to talk about Donald Trump or bring something up, they were shut down. Like, boom, no, you came up for that guy. He gets rich. I saw that a lot more amongst my liberal friends than I did with my conservative friends. I saw them shut me down sometimes, you know. I'm just trying to bring up a point. I'm trying to bring up a possibility. This is even before the racist stuff started coming out, you know. And this was, you know, and then the wall, and then, you know, sometimes we say things because we're trying to talk about something. Like, the wall is not necessarily we're building a wall. The wall is about, you know, protecting the border and doing a better job than we have been, you know. And I think people took it as a literal sense. Oh, we're going to build a wall? You know, Obama deported, what, 7 million people, 8 million people last year, his administration. And, you know, Donald Trump was talking about, what, 10, 15? I don't know what his numbers are kind of high. But we do that every year. We deport millions of people every year. This isn't anything new. I was deported. I had to go through deportation case. You know, first you have to be deported, and then you get a chance to present your case to the immigration court, which could take 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, depending how fast they move. You know, so deportation isn't instantaneous. You know, deportation can take years. There are people who've been deported, and they're still going through the process. I know illegal aliens who pay taxes, okay? Because that, when they pay taxes, okay? And I don't know how they do it, but they do it, okay? My dad did it, okay? That's a good example. And that's what helped our family pay, because we contributed to the government. We contributed to the IRS. We contributed to America. And, you know, if we had not done that and we were just leeches and stealing, I mean, there's Americans here who are American citizens. They don't even pay taxes. They're trying to avoid taxes. You have an illegal alien. My dad was an illegal alien. He's paying taxes. Because back then it was different, though. It was very different. Like, it wasn't such a big deal to be illegal back then, back in the 70s, back in the 80s. It wasn't such a huge deal until we started having some serious problems with some serious countries. you know, which we call the Middle East, where we started having issues with that, when you started having a lot of problems, a lot of infiltration, a lot of different things. And then when the attempts on 9/11 started, when they blew up those bombs in the basement, didn't bring the towers down. And then finally, the final, you know, blast was when they took down the towers, whoever did that. And that, but we blamed it on people in the Middle East, you know, we blamed it on Muslims and whatever. We changed the whole demographics of America. We changed just how children see America now. We grew up in a time where we didn't even have to think about those things. Now we have children growing up in a time where they have to be questioning everybody they see, you know, and everything that they do. It's just like being in the camps when I was over there in North Dakota. You have to be aware of who you're talking to, because you don't know who's friend and who's not, you know, who's the enemy. Mm-hmm. You don't know who. I mean, I was like, oh my God, if I say anything, I'm inciting a riot. You know, I'm causing, you know, rumors and missing information. So I had to be very, very careful of what I even said, open my mouth, because it's so easy. We're in such a society that we're such gossipers, man. We just like to share stuff about other people. We like to talk about what we saw in the news. We like to share about what we learned, and we like to hear, oh, did you know? I heard the army's coming down. This is what I heard. The army's coming down. They're going to raid the camp. And they're like, they can't come in here. You know, just different things, just the kind of things that I had to live with, and just with the 4 days I was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's national. You know, now we have to make a choice, I guess, maybe where we're going to go from here, if we're going to keep this anger and this division and this current situation going and for how long, or if we're going to come together somehow, you know. And I know there's people out there who think that, you know, they're now victims, they could be assaulted at any moment, and that's very, very scary for them, you know. And I'm not saying that that's nothing to consider, you know, but, and to be careful, and we should be protecting people who are at risk like that, you know, like transgender people and people of color and everything. We should be doing that. We should be standing up for our neighbors. But eventually this is going to have to morph into some kind of a national attitude that we have and how we're going to go forward from it. Or else, you know, we've said before, this could be the start of civil war or revolution or something. But if we're going to heal and we're going to move forward, you know, and try to go into the future here, then we're going to need to come together, to mm-hmm. come to peace with whatever was going on. And and like I said in my post, you know, for some people it's going to mean they're going to be more active in promoting the agendas of or the interests that they have, you know, whether it's gay rights or you know, Black Lives Matter or things like that. You know, they're going to have to take a stand even firmer against all that, you know, or just start to care for one another in a different way. You know, a lot of crap's been stirred up over these last 18 months to 2 years, and we've seen some ugliness, you know, and it's got our attention now. So it's time to clean it up. It's time to make America, you know, heal again. I guess,
great again.
Say, or
make America love again.
Yes. Yes.
America's,
you know,
already great, man.
It is. And one of our strongest points is that we do, when push comes to shove, we'll stand up for ourselves and our neighbor. You know, I think that that's true. I don't think that we're a nation of haters. I don't think we're a nation of just bystanders. We've seen it before when a national emergency happens, when like a hurricane comes or something mm-hmm. else happens. You know, Americans will cross divides. Americans
yes.
will cross color lines and religious
mm-hmm.
lines and come together and go, you know what, we're human beings. We're here in this country, and we're going to love and care for one another. We can argue tomorrow,
absolutely.
You know, but today we need each other, and it happens. It happens again and again. So I'm hopeful that as we go forward, that things will reach an equilibrium, and we'll be able to, you know, maybe look back on these times and go, you know what, that wasn't a bad thing after all, because we started talking to one another again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My next favorite meme is this. I have a mounted police from Canada in his little red uniform, and on the top it says, no celebrities yet.
No celebrities. They haven't moved to Canada yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree with you, David. there are people, some people are very scared. I mean, I get that because you know what? Some people live in a different part of the country that we don't associate with. Like here in Columbus, you don't really see a whole bunch of that stuff. But when you start to go to New York, you start going to Los Angeles, you know, California, you know, Los Angeles, California, the bigger cities, you know, you see a lot more concentration of people. So you see a lot more diversity and you see a lot more problems. So I get that, you know, it's not isolated just to the big cities. And hopefully parents teach their kids, you know, that there's a better way to live. You know, it starts with us, you know, like me as a parent, I try my best, you know, I try to teach my kids the best things I can, but that doesn't always pan out, my friends, because, you know, they have their own minds and their own free will and their choices to make for themselves, and they have their own families, and so they have to make their own stands. And, you know, I'll be the first person to tell you that I've been hurt more by my family, you know, over the course of years than any other stranger has ever hurt me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we blame the parents for things and it's not the parents. In some cases it is but you know what? It's sometimes influences of other people. When you fall in love with somebody, when you're with a group of people, you start to simulate, you start to take on characteristics like they do. And so you change to some degree. So, to blame parents why things are so screwed up is, you know, that's ridiculous, you know. That's not right. That's incorrect. I believe myself to be a good parent, but when my kids do stupid stuff and, you know, they commit whatever, none of my kids ever commit a crime, but if they did, you know, you can't blame me for that. You know, that was their decision. You know, that's their decision.
That's
you know,
them. Yep.
Absolutely. It's on everybody. It's even on the people who are protesting. There's a peaceful way to protest, and there's a radical way to protest. You know, you don't burn other people's crap, destroy cars and break windows, you know, that belong to somebody else because you're pissed off because of something, you know, next time get out, you know, canvas the neighborhoods instead of playing, you know, Xbox Live, watching TV or just studying or whatever you're doing. I mean, I can label everything that, you know, these people who are protesting, you know, they have the right to protest. They have the right to speak their mind, but they don't have the right, in my opinion, to destroy other people's properties, to prove a point,
right,
and to be angry and to beat up other human beings, okay, pull them out of cars and beat them up because they voted for some guy, you know, who, you know, happens to have a different opinion of them. You know, we live in a racist society. We live in a country where people don't like everybody. We have the KKK. We have Black Matter, Life Matters. We have the Black Panthers. We have all kinds of groups. We have gangbangers. We have all kinds of people. You know, that's nothing new. That's nothing, absolutely nothing new. So to act like this is brand new stuff, you know, is really disheartening and it's really frustrating me because, you know, this isn't a problem that just happened overnight. The reason we have a guy in office, if you think that he's a racist or whatever, is because there's another segment of the population that thinks different than you, that wants things different than you. And you know what? They outvoted you this time. Okay. Yeah, he may not be your president, but he's their president. And, you know, no matter if he's not your president, he's going to affect your life if you allow it. Now, my life hasn't really totally changed a whole lot from the last 3 or 4 administrations. I've done pretty well and I've adjusted. And I always say that adjust, because if you don't adjust, someone's going to adjust you. Someone's going to change you and they're going to put you in a box. I refuse to be put in a box. I refuse to do what the status quo is. I'm self-employed. I can never go work for anybody. I would rather starve to death and be poor to go work for somebody. Because I know I can do it. I know I can get out there and work my ass off. I know that I can, you know, do well for myself. I don't need handouts. I don't need welfare. I don't need that. But some people do. Some people just don't have the capacity to do that. So hopefully everybody understands to pull it together to some degree. You don't like Trump? Well, there's not a whole lot we can do. He's there now. The only thing that could actually happen is on December 19th, the Electoral College decides that Trump's not fit to be president. And they can actually overturn those votes and put Hillary in office. That could happen. It's only happened what, once or twice in our existence as a republic. But I really highly doubt that will happen. But it could.
Mm. Very true. Very true. And remember, love Trump. No, yeah. Yes.
If you don't mind, I'd like to read the words to a song that, again, I ended up, he had some music that we put to it. But I'd actually just like to read the words because it's still fitting even more so today, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Yeah, please.
It's called Do You Believe? In this world, the struggles are real. So much violence and hate, it's hard to feel. There's the poor and the hungry living in the streets, bodies on the ground, covered in sheets. The daily news airs what they want us to see. The newspapers share what they want us to read. Do you believe in the power of love? Do you have faith in God above? We have the power to change this land. We need to walk as brothers, hand in hand. Every day a gift is given. This thing called life, it is worth living. If every day you give thanks and feel love, change will happen here and above. Show love and kindness to all those in need. Don't give up on faith in humanity. We are the people that will change this land. It's up to us, the love revolution at hand.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Wow.
Sounds better with the music, but the words are very important.
No, no, that's very powerful. I love it. And very true.
I like that.
Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
You just say, I want to share something. You have to ask permission.
That's right. That's right. You're our lion-hearted friend.
That's right. And let me, I want to share something with you, with some friends of mine real quick. Ready?
That's us.
I think we're living in Munchkinland now. You know, I actually have that song. I have that song on here. Do you believe?
Yeah.
You can hear it sometime.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here in my living room and I'm looking at my DVDs while we're talking, and I see one set of DVDs. It's for a series called The Prisoner, and The Prisoner came out in like 1968. I don't know if you've ever had any of the episodes, but it deals with a man who was a secret agent, and he goes to retire, and he has a kind of a stormy conversation with his boss, you know, and he goes home, and as soon as he gets home, he gets kidnapped. It's like he gets put out with this gas, and he wakes up in a village where his house is, you know, his house is the exact replica of his, but he's in a village that is controlled by somebody called Number Two, and Number Two lives up on the hill, you know, and everyone's given a number, like he's Number Six, there's Number Seven, there's Number 12, there's, you know, everyone's a number, and you don't know who to trust, because all of these people have been plucked from their lives and put there. They were former spies. Some of them were spying on the spies. You know, it's a whole, like, an intrigue there, you know, and in one episode, he actually runs for Number Two's position, you know, as a leader of the village, and, you know, he runs a campaign and everything, and he gets elected, and he gets to go up to the control tower, you know, where everything happens in this big control tower, you know, and so he gets to go up there, and he's like, okay, everybody's free, go, 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 you know, and nobody moves, nobody goes anywhere, you know, and they take him away, you know, and that's just one of the things he goes through, you know, as he struggles to deal with being there and trying to get out to the real world. But yeah, a very interesting series. If you ever get a chance to see any of it, The Prisoner. So,
is it on Netflix?
Yeah. I don't think it's on Netflix. I've got the DVD, so maybe I can let you see him sometime. It's probably on YouTube too.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, but it's really cool. And there's this big ball that if you, you know, this big like white ball that if you try to escape the village, it comes after you and it like rolls over you and you get suffocated and then you wake up again in your house, you know. So it's kind of
like a Twilight Zone or something. It sounds like a Twilight Zone movie.
Almost, you know, because it was made in the late 60s, so it's got kind of almost a psychedelic kind of feel to it, you know. But I watched it as a kid, and it probably shaped some of my opinions about government and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
It was good, you know. It was about the same time as the Avengers, you know, the old Avengers
show
that used to be on. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
About that time, too, you know. So, anyway, yeah. Open
okay,
your mind, people. Yeah.
3 seconds flat, guys. Hold on.
You're listening to WithInsightsRadio.com.
So we're back.
Right. You know, and as I said, open your mind because it's your mind that either can free you or keep you a prisoner. You know, you only have to program something for so long, just like a dog to sit, you know, and then once they know that sit command, they'll sit there all day because even though they're free to get up and walk away, you know, they want to obey or they're used to that. So
right.
A lot of what we go through every day is programming. You know, we don't have to follow
mm-hmm.
that programming. We just choose mm-hmm. to, you know, because it's the way our lives are. So, so that's, to me, that's the stage where freedom happens is inside your mind. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Free yourself.
Free yourself and then be yourself.
That's right.
And then
and then
go bowling, you know, because bowling is fun, so.
Yeah, I love bowling.
We need a bowling night, guys. We
I like the bowling.
I think so. You know, we're all terrible bowlers, and it's great to get together and just laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm pretty bad.
It's great to see who's going to get up there at about 87 points.
Yeah. I'm going to break 100 this time, I swear. But no, it's all good. It's all good. I love you both. And, you know, we do need to have a hangout time pretty soon because I think we have been on doing our own things. So, you know, we'll have to set
bowling
something up sometime.
Well,
good.
I'll be in New York, but you guys knock those pins down.
Okay. Okay. Are you going back to see GV?
Yeah, Markel has to go up there with some Navy stuff, and we'll probably run into GV at some point. She's moving back to Virginia, sometime in December. Her husband comes back a little earlier than expected, so
okay.
long time coming for her. You know, it's been hard. You know, she's been gone since May, and the baby's grown leaps and bounds, and she only knows her dad through pictures, really. So. It's going to be cool.
Yeah,
cool reunion.
Exactly. Well, hey, why don't you play us a song or two to play us out of here?
Yeah, let me play two songs and then we'll go out. But anything you want to leave us with? Because after the songs are over, I'll just end the show.
Yeah. I'll let you go first, Adriana, if you have anything else to add or want to sum it up.
To feel the love, people. Feel the love. It's out there. And if it isn't around you, then make it around you. Put it out there. You'll get it in return.
Very good. Very good. You know, we're many different kinds of people here in this country, you know, and the eyes of the world have been on us for this whole election to see who we were going to select as the person to lead this country. So, we've had a different kind of result than I think a lot of them had anticipated and a lot of us had anticipated, but we are very many different kinds of people. So we need to celebrate that instead of making that a problem. And like Adriana said, love one another, you know, when push comes to shove, we are in this together and, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down together. So let's lift each other up and let's try to make a better nation 4 years from now or even 2 days from now than we have right now. And I know we can do it. I believe in this country. I believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're going to come out of this stronger and better. So there you go.
Yeah, when you go down, you can only come up, right?
Exactly.
All right. So this is a song I wrote, and then I'll play the song that Adriana wrote, and we'll finish with that. But my closing thoughts are, you know, just do your best, you know, and just walk the most sacred path you can, and just, you know, just love people around you, because, you know, you don't know how much time you have with them. And, you know, that includes your friends, your family, you know, your dogs, your cats, you know, because life is really short. In the end of it, we live a very short life. Our existence is very short. You know, we seem 60 years, 70 years may seem like a long time, 80 years, 100 years. I mean, some of us are very lucky if we make it to 100, if we even make it to 55, you know. That life is very precious. So don't squander it on being angry. Don't squander it on being frustrated with other people's, you know, baggage. You don't own their baggage. You don't own their belief systems. Own yours. You know, you don't have to buy into things. They have no power over you unless you give them power. So I'll leave you guys with that.
Amen, brother.
All right, and here we go.
Love you guys.
Love you.
In life, you need certain people that touch your heart. And these people are just like you, just trying to find a way. In life, you wonder why we have to play the game.
Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? every day you give thanks and feel love. Change will happen here and above. Show love and kindness.
Thank you for tuning into With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia. That's our show for tonight. Tomorrow, we will have Iggy Garcia live, and Mark Matheny will be on sometime this week, and also Mud Toe Sasquatch will be on his Friday time. I think it's at 10:30, I believe. But we hope you enjoyed the show. You can actually wait for it to be reloaded and played back for those of you who missed it. So there's always going to be an archive for this show. So we hope you enjoyed our songs that Adrian and I wrote, and the song I wrote, and the music we composed together. So other than that, I will say goodnight to everybody and be well. Don't get stressed out. There's better things to come. Enjoy the full moon tonight, and we'll see everybody next week.